So the fact that until recently most police officers were men means that those two qualities, masculinity on the one hand and authority on the other, are impossible to pull apart. And that's what makes it so hard for women to enter professions that traditionally have been all or mostly male. My own research on women and men at work comes in here, too. I found that women managers faced a similar dilemma, and I talked about this when I talked about the workplace. If they talked in ways that women were expected to talk, they could be seen as ineffective. If they talked in ways that a person in authority or a boss is expected to talk, they might risk not being liked. For example, a woman who was the president of a university told me that she had been overheard talking to her secretary by a member of the board who was a man. She had said to her secretary something like, "Could you do me a favor and type this?" The board member later took her aside in her office in private and said, "Don't forget, you're the president." What he meant was that by saying to her secretary, "Could you do me a favor and type this?" she was talking without authority. She's the president. She should be more authoritative. As a matter of fact, the secretary who was there when this university president told me the story commented that she really liked her boss and liked the way that she communicated. But it came across to the male member of the board of trustees as lacking in the proper authority. On the other hand, this actually was told to me by women based on their working lives, that if they talked in ways that were associated with people in authority, they also came out sounding like men. So if they gave orders in too direct way or something like failing to ask co-workers or subordinates or secretaries about their personal lives, you know, "How was your weekend? How's your mother doing?" then they would be seen as too aggressive, too unlikable, and trying to act like men. Well, maybe I should back up here for a minute because I've moved rather quickly from those early studies of women's and men's language in Native America to the dilemma faced by women in traditionally male professions today. So let me back up now and ask, when did modern linguists first write about gender differences in language? The crucial year in gender and language studies was 1975. That's the year in which Robin Lakoff is a professor of linguistics at the University of California, Berkeley, published a groundbreaking book called Language and Woman's Place. And this book brought together two academic papers that she had published in 1972 and 1973. 1975 was also the year that a book was published by Mary Ritchie Key called Male-Female Language. Robin Lakoff's book is the one that turned out to be groundbreaking and became the basis for a lot of the research that came later. Lakoff described what she perceived as gender-related patterns of speaking on three levels. The first was lexical items, in other words, the words that we use. The second was syntax, in other words, the grammatical constructions, the way we put words together. And finally, intonation or other patterns of sound. So let's start with the level of words. Lakoff pointed out that often women know more words for colors, for example. So a man overheard two women, and they happen to be women academics, talking about the color of a book cover and discussing whether it was lavender or mauve. This struck him as funny because he didn't even know the difference between lavender and mauve. Another pattern that Lakoff observed on the level of words: if I gave you this sentence, would you have any trouble saying which was said by a man, which was said by a woman? "Oh dear, who put the peanut butter in the refrigerator?" "Damn, who put the peanut butter in the refrigerator?" We don't know whether a woman or a man actually spoke those sentences, but you would get the impression that "oh dear" is more likely to be said by a woman and "damn" more likely to be said by a man. The same would go for expressions like "oh fudge," as compared to words beginning with the same letter that would sound much worse, especially coming out of my mouth. Adjectives like adorable, charming, sweet, lovely, divine, Lakoff pointed out, are more likely to be said by women as compared to neutral adjectives like great, terrific, cool, neat,